Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Doing pretty good. Yeah, so yesterday was able to go golfing with my dad, so that was nice.
Whoa.
First, like, real big trip out. So my mom came down. I gave Aaron some extra help around the house. Played horrendously. As like worst I've played in a very, very long time, but it was still just nice.
What does that mean? Like, what do you shoot when you play bad?
So I did not think it was going to happen, but I managed to shoot a 99. If I would have shot 100, okay, I would have been like very upset. And that's, so I shoot like, I'm not an amazing golfer, but like mid 80s is pretty consistently in there.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
And so, yeah, with this one though, it was just a mess, but really nice to just get out, get a little break from things. And then I guess, yeah, at the business, Saberson, things are going well. Still, I mean, really starting to ramp up now as we get closer to football. It's almost exactly a month away. There's some preseason games starting right today. So yeah, it's definitely, we're gearing up for the busy season. So can dig into some things here, but how are things on your end?
Yeah, they're good, man. Leaving for vacation for a week tomorrow. Cannot wait. Cannot wait. Yeah, we'll be checking in. I think I'll check in once a day. Just do email and Slack check-in and stuff just when we have some downtime. And I think it's a good cadence. So probably take like a week around Christmas, like between Christmas and New Year's pretty much off. And then take this week and then try to take one more week like right at the end of school, like in July. Is hopefully this good. We have one interesting thing is like we're in France. We had 2 weeks off every 8 weeks for the kids' school. And so like have a lot less of the kids' vacation. Like the kids are the limiting factor when it comes to vacation now, because Amanda and I can go whenever we want. So yeah, having to live the American vacation kind of life now, which is a bit of a drag, but trying to take advantage of it as we can.
This is still years away for us, but it's, I mean, you basically travel, other than in summer, it's you're traveling on like school vacations, and typically,
yeah,
most schools have very similar vacations. So it's like you travel when everyone else is and everything's busy and expensive, but it's also just like very like, nope, like can't do it then. So
yeah, we're pretty surely going to take at least 1 week in the winter and go to like Mexico or Costa Rica or something like that. Just like pull the kids out, maybe make winter break 2 or 3 weeks long just because.
At what year in school do you think it's, I feel like you, as a parent, you probably get guilted no matter what age you do that at, but like,
yeah,
at what spot do you think it's like, no, shouldn't pick them out for an extra week?
Probably eighth grade. Like my daughter's going into sixth grade this year. So we have a couple more years of it where I think it's cool. And then I think Amanda and I will probably just take kind of alternating weeks where she'll go with a friend out to California or something. And maybe I'll see if I can talk someone into going somewhere fun with me, like go for a golfing week in Florida or something, you know. Actually, yeah, it's just talking about golf. Like I used to play a ton of golf and I was really, really good in like high school and college. And I haven't played basically since my daughter was born, but just now like wanting to get back into it. So maybe I'm just getting old. Maybe that's what it is. Like when you're old,
no, I mean,
you play golf again.
It's funny. It's like, I definitely realized that I'm very fortunate with the setup I have and everything of like, for my dad, it was the same story. It's like when my sister and I were born, he would play maybe once or twice a year with like his dad and maybe his brothers would be like a family thing. But that was for like a decade or longer even. And so it just, he was a great golfer, but you just, I mean, you do lose it. It can come back, but you can lose it. And it's just kids make it, those, they're obviously the priority and it's just hard to get that big of a chunk off. And so having the work from home schedule for me where it's like, okay, especially now that I'm still working, I will be working full time shortly, but it's like those hours when it's more managerial doesn't need to be, or strategic really doesn't need to be a specific time. So in the morning, I can sneak out to get 9 holes once we have daycare and everything else set up. So I know it'll obviously change, but definitely feeling fortunate to be able to at least get some kind of a routine in there for us. We'll have to play some time, do a podcast from the golf course.
Yeah, yeah. This is a huge tangent, but I think I'd mentioned on here that I was doing rowing like crew for a while. And that's been fun. I may continue to do that into the fall. It obviously doesn't happen in the winter here, but you know, it just exercise in general. Like I think the easy answer for that with like kids and stuff is to do it early in the morning. And like, there's definitely like a 5 a.m. rowing group here. And then there's like CrossFit and going to the gym and stuff like that. And it's just part of what kills me is like, I don't want to get up at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
You know, and I know that like for your body, it's great to work out early and to not take time away from the family. It's the best thing and stuff. But like, I don't know. I have a lot of guilt and inner conflict about that. It's like, I know it's the right thing to do. There's a 5 and a 6 a.m. CrossFit here. It's like 10 minutes away.
Well, because it's like, if that doesn't mean you wake up at 5. It's like, no, you've got to be at the gym at 5.
At least 20 minutes early. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
I don't have an answer, but like, if I continue to row, I have to do it in the morning, because I'm just taking 2 days a week from like 5 to 7 that I'm gone.
Right. And you see like you definitely feel like the trade-offs, where it's like, okay, if I'm doing this, I'm not able to do these other things.
Cook dinner with family. Yeah. So
yeah, that's tough. And I think I don't know. To me, I've kind of beat myself up a lot about just following more of the like common wisdom of like the things you just laid out. And when I try to force it too much, it just doesn't work. So if like working out in the mornings is not working, then like continuously saying like, oh, I'm going to do it next time, it just doesn't end up there. So I think where I've netted out, at least for now, is one, have not been, even though we have a gym in the basement, like haven't really used it, because I actually do like to do it in the morning, but with the way our kind of baby time is split, like I'm going to bed very late and then waking up, not like lately, but at that point it's like, no, like gotta like help get things ready and get things washed and everything, and then like get into work. So it's just don't have the time for it yet, but it'll just be figuring out like, okay, this is the time I do it, even if it's not the so-called perfect time, just getting it done, and then find the time where it's like, yeah, the kids aren't home or whatever it may be. But yeah. No, so, I mean, a lot of it on my end has been, I've said it a bunch of times, where just artificial deadlines, artificial constraints that I put on myself, I just don't show often the willpower needed to just like enforce those. And I usually just need to have something where it's unavoidable to just force me to act or to make changes, whatever it is. And like with the baby, that's obviously a very big one. And it's really clarified just a lot of my thinking about delegating. And because I just know, like, yeah, there's no way I'm going to be able to get this done. I can't even pretend anymore. And so it's like, okay, do we need to do this? Maybe the answer is just no. And so we just won't do it. Or, okay, if we do and I can't do this, is there something I can hand off so I'll have the time to do it? Or is there someone who can just do it? And so that's been pretty big. And I forget if I touched on it last episode, but I've been thinking a bit about shifting around responsibilities within the team and just clarifying things a little bit more. And so Jordan is our head coach, but he runs office hours. He does really educational content and marketing content too, just any video stuff he does. But the daily office hours, it takes it's a commitment every single day. It can split up his day a little bit. A lot of the day is getting ready for that. And we're at the point where it's like, okay, we have that process down pretty good. I think there is other types of content that is more evergreen and might just even be more impactful. Like this office hours is, we're really happy to be doing it. We think it's hard to measure a return, but we're confident it's worth it for us to keep doing. But it's not as though it's like, it's not really bringing, it's more success than marketing content. Like it's not growing our audience significantly. It's giving people content who are already here and helping them stay here, get better results and that sort of thing. But there's a lot we can do on the marketing side. And just like I was saying, like, I don't have bandwidth to do a lot of the things. Jordan doesn't either. So just made an offer earlier this week to one of our customers who has had huge results over the last year at DFS. And he actually reached out to us about potentially finding an opportunity. It was good timing. And so he'll be taking over office hours. And big thing is just, he'll also be doing support, because I think when Jordan was hosting office hours, but someone else was doing support, in theory, it's like, oh, these questions have already been answered. So like, I can just go find the link to it and then send it there. But when the person answering the questions is not the one on YouTube, is not the one answering the questions in the inbox, they don't know what's been asked. So either someone has to index these and then know what's it, all of it. It just like didn't work on that level. But when the person hosting office hours is also doing support, it'll be very easy, I think, for them. Because like, oh yeah, I answered this yesterday or whatever else. So I think it'll help there. And then we'll be able to shift Jordan to a role where it's more of those marketing pieces of content meant to like attract new potential customers, new leads. And also, I think he'll just be able to own the keeping our content consistent, whether it's support or education consistent, really. And whether it's support, YouTube, in-app, anything else, it's like we need to figure out what our SaberStim methodology is and then make sure the support team knows that, make sure all the things we do are in line with that. And I think that's how you get better results from it. It's just we haven't been able to do it. So long-winded way of saying, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about delegation, and that's the big shift we're making now is bringing someone in there. That'll let Jordan get more strategic on the video, but also take off some of the copywriting stuff from my plate. And so it'll free up things a good amount all around and just let us move more effectively, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting, man. Like, so I think we're going to have a whole episode kind of digesting the HubSpot state of inbound marketing report. It's really, really interesting. And like, we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But I think what you're talking about is really a good topic. And it's something that we, and I mean me, I wrestle with as like head of marketing is, yeah, like putting out content that's actually effective. And like, I think we talk about this a lot, but it's just such a big challenge is like, there's a lot of stuff we do. And a lot of stuff we do doesn't really matter, but you kind of maybe need to do it, or you think you need to do it. And then there's things that actually matter that move the needle without being too like hypothetical about it. Like what I'm really talking about is like social media, right? Because I think it's something you do none of. We do none of it other than posting our like podcast episodes and blog posts to our Twitter channel. But it was one of the things that like, if I look at marketing channels that are available to us, I feel like when you look at like content marketing and blogging and even podcasting, like we're doing well there. Like, have we totally optimized everything about it? No, right? But like, we've done absolutely zero with social media. And I just look at that and say, I'm terrible at social media. So like, I'm probably not the one to come up with a strategy of how we could really crack it to grow our audience and like actually make a positive business impact. I look at it and say, there has to be a way that we could use this to grow our audience and drive trials or even like expand our brand, like exposure and equity and stuff like that. But kind of like you're talking about with the consistency is like, you got to have the same tone and you got to be talking about the same stuff across all these channels. And like, that takes a fair amount of coordination because even if you bring someone in who's like a social media whiz, they got to be able to take what's in the podcast and on the YouTube channel and on the blog and on the email, synthesize it and make it consistent, but in a different format and engage with people in a different way and stuff like that. So anyways, like, I don't have any answers, but like, it's definitely something I'm thinking about is like, I don't think we're topped out or tapped out on content marketing and like on page stuff, but I don't think the wins there are as easy as they used to be. And so I'm kind of saying like, is social media a place that I should invest my time?
So I can give like, I'll give my high level thoughts. And then I can give like more specific ones.
Or your high level
stuff. But so like the first is just generally speaking, I think a brand should not force social media. It's like if you don't have that innate, not the right word. If you don't have those skills internally, it's going to be like, I just don't think it's going to be successful. But then it's like, okay, who do you hire for this? So you hire someone in, and a lot of what works on, at least on Twitter, is not always going to translate directly to the business. So it's like you could get someone in who builds a really big following and even that's a big task and hard to find someone that's actually able to do that. But then, like you're saying, if it's not consistent with everything else that you're doing, it won't really drive results. And even then, it's still a question. And so I feel like social media can be really powerful for building authority as someone selling like high ticket coaching, consulting. It doesn't even need to be like info product stuff, but just like they're selling their expertise and they're charging a premium where it's like, oh, okay, like I see how this person thinks, I want to pay them to get more of their thoughts kind of a thing. That works. But it's like to get a product, it's like you've been building a brand in the more like traditional brand sense because people connect with personalities on social media, but like an inanimate product can't have a personality. But if you're the expert and you're selling yourself, that's just a much more direct path. And so I think there are still companies that like do it very well. But to me, it's when they're founder-led or marketing-led by someone who that is what they're already doing. And so it's not as though they're like, okay, how do I tack social media on it? This is like, no, like they're just, this is the way they operate. This is how they view things. And that's just like the key piece of it. I think when it just gets added on, almost never gets results. And I think, I know you talked about Justin Jackson with Transistor, but I don't follow him too closely. But from what I've seen is it's not he's not like the podcast guy. He's more of like the solopreneur, like creator, that kind of thing. And maybe I'm way off base, but like, I think that is very different because you attract people who are the right fit often to start a podcast. But like, that would be such a huge departure from the kind of content that you guys are creating. Not that you can't do more of it, but like, that's just a very different shift. And if you're more going more from like being an authority on podcasting, I don't think people new to podcasting are following authorities on podcasting. I think that, I don't know that a ton of people are to begin with. I'm sure there's like niches of it, but like, I just feel like those kind of people already have a podcast, and that's just such a big hill to get them over of, okay, switch to us because you like our brand better. So I think it's like, if you can find people to go beyond podcasting, it's like, if you can find people who as a consultant or something where it's like, we can get you, you prove that you can get someone significantly better results that is worth them to switch or whatever else, like to go with you, they're going to trust you, they're going to defer to you. That works. I think it's when it's more commoditized, it's needing to go find the people who will become customers so that when they're ready, they're going to go to you first. But I think it's like social is just not a place to, you're not really capturing intent. It's just like you're like planting the seed, whereas search is like, okay, when they're ready, they are going to search for these things. We can go after those terms. Whereas on social, it's just like, no, you've got to like plant a seed early. And then so that they've been following you for a while and they're like, oh, maybe I should look into this. And like, they're going to go to you for it. And I don't know. Those are kind of all over the place thoughts, but I just think it's very hard to make it work in our space. That's actually like how Twitter is how the vast majority of our competition grows, Twitter and YouTube. That's no one on our team is amazing at that. We all see what others are doing and want to get more of that, especially when it's like they're not, we get how kind of like, it doesn't seem like a big leap to do that. Like it's like, oh, like all these people are building a brand, they're getting followings, like that's driving their sales. But it's just, none of us know how to do that. And I'm just always super skeptical of social media. So it's like, and I think when you have someone on the team, they don't even need to necessarily be junior, but so often you get, oh, you guys, we should be doing more on social media. It's like, okay, what does that mean? And then they're like, well, like we could be tweeting these kind of things and really working on this. Like, okay, how do we do that? And then if we do that really well, how will we know that's worth it? Are you going to do that? And like, have you done this before? Like, who else can do this? How are we like, and I just, going kind of circling back to the delegation stuff, I've never seen it work where you basically delegate figuring something like a big strategy out to an employee unless they are just like very senior or clearly on the path like to becoming very senior. And I've been in the spot on the receiving end where it's like, hey, like I just read this book, like here's this awesome course, here's this book, like go through that and then like let's do that here. And I was like, I have no idea how, like, I get what you're going for, but like, I have 1,000 questions. I don't know how this is going to work or how it's going to fit in. But like, it's not as simple as just like plugging something in. And then a lot of times that's actually a better way of doing it. But a lot of times there's like no way of plugging it in. So it's like, oh, like just go figure this out. And like that just never works well in my experience. So I'm just always skeptical. And like, if we had someone on our team who had already built a big following and could kind of lay out how they would do it for us, I don't think I would need to be super anal about drawing all the lines to show the ROI and everything else. Cause like, I know it's there, but I just never have met anyone who has like a very clear plan of this is exactly what I'm doing. Here's how we're going to do it. Mm. And so, yeah.
You're spot on that. Like, I don't know anyone that follows a brand on social media, right? You follow yep. individuals.
Right.
And so I think that's really interesting. Like,
that's like a very succinct way of saying what I like. Exactly. You follow a person.
Yeah. Like a line of demarcation. I think that the place in my mind where it could be beneficial is, what is the saying? Like you have to see something 7 times or hear 7 times before you like believe it or remember
Not to cut you, but it's like, we're not Coca-Cola. We're not McDonald's. Like that can't be our goal of like making it so that everyone in our space has seen or heard us that many times. Like
I know maybe not.
I know that that is like a that's more of like the branding strategies. Like, yes, like, and it does work. If you look at like personal injury lawyers, like they're not dumb. They spend an insane amount of advertising, all the billboards, everything. Because when you need that thing, you don't search for it. It's like, oh, I go to this guy, like whatever else. Or this is a company, like, yeah, I know them. Like, they have a little jingle with their number in it. I know it right now. I'm just going to call it. I don't even need to search for it. Like that sort of thing. So like that does work. I guess just, I'm always skeptical of like thinking that that is close to the lowest hanging fruit for most businesses.
Mm, fair. Yeah. Where I was going with that is like, if we can get a point of like exposure for our brand on social media so that when they hear our podcast episode or see a video for us on YouTube or see us in a blog or like a search result, that they say, oh, I've seen these guys before. Like I'm aware of them at all. I'll click on that article to read it. That's the most that I hope to get from it, right? It's just like, we're not just some random result on Google, but like, oh, I've seen someone else like retweet their stuff or something. Like if we could get that, I think it would be success. Just so that then that other piece of content performs better.
That just seems like a very roundabout way of getting other content to perform better. And I guess the way I, this doesn't always work, but I just always try to go back to just think about prioritization. Like, okay, what is the impact that this would have if it worked well? How confident am I that it would actually work that well? Those are like the two biggest questions in my mind. And it seems like the impact you're describing is relatively vague. I get what you're saying. I agree there's something there, but it's just like, ah, I don't know how big of an impact that is. So the impact, probably not super high. And then, because if it is a huge impact thing, like it's obvious. It's just like, okay, like, yeah, this would change everything. And if it's an incremental improvement, it's just like, which is making something else a little bit more powerful. I don't think it's going to be that impactful. And then the confidence component is like, do we have a playbook for doing this and know people who have executed it successfully before? And so when both are low, to me, it's just something that I wouldn't try to tackle. But I think you can keep digging into, okay, we think there's ways that we think it would be helpful to have people trust our content more. What can we do for that? I mean, could it just be like we have more testimonials? We have like social proof. Like there's a ton of things just on that side. But then it could even be, okay, what if it is we literally just want them to see more of our content? We could try to build this natural organic audience that stumble upon our videos. And then when they stumble upon it somewhere else, and like they start connecting it all. Or we could utilize like the insane amounts of search traffic that we already get and just retarget those people and just force them to like here, we know the people who are interested. Let's show them our stuff. And like that can do that. And I just think with a much more direct way and probably cheaper way, it's like when people are, this is not your case at all, but it's like if someone's building like a super niche B2B SaaS tool where it's like, it works for pediatric dentists with less than 20 staff in their office. And it's like, okay, like you can just buy a list of all those offices in the country. And then like, why would you want to try to do like an abroad, like social media, like let's build this audience and go. It's like, no, like, you know who your audience is and you can literally call them. And I think that's one extreme of it. And then the more nebulous, just like building a following and hoping some of them will fit in is the other extreme. I just think there's a lot in the middle that can get overlooked because it's not as like sexy. It's not as talked about really.
Yeah. So I think everything you're saying makes a ton of sense. We're still going to do it, I think, because it just,
what are you
going to
do? Can you just back up? What are you
going to
do?
What are we going to do? Yeah, no. And then that's what I was going to say. Like, we're not going to like reinvent the wheel or take a ton of my time. What I'm talking about is like taking an hour, 30 minutes a week and loading up two posts a day in Buffer that are sharing our stuff or engaging with other communities or whatever. So that we kind of, and this is super nebulous and probably a waste of time, but like check the box when someone comes to check out our brand to say like, are they doing anything on social media? Are they like posting stuff on Twitter? And if my 30 minutes once a week to get them to say yes to that has them start a trial, then it's worth it.
I'm not confident it's worth it, even if those assumptions are true, because you don't have an infinite amount of time. So even if this technically has a positive ROI, there are things you are saying no to do this. And whether it's like figuring out when to row, when to go to the gym versus family time, and the same thing applies within the business of, okay, what else could we be working on? Maybe it only takes this much amount of time, but is it taking up just mental space in the back of my head about like, oh yeah, I got to do this, got to do that. And so it's not just, the bar shouldn't just be positive ROI. It should be much higher than that. And it should be relative to the other opportunities there. And it seems like this could be me over-indexing on just like how I use the internet. But I feel like we often, as founders, especially like the bootstrap world, overcomplicate, like just being like, oh, like we need to have this, we need to have that, and like these things. And people really want to make sure that like you're real. So you got to have these social profiles and stuff. But like, I don't know that I've ever, and I use Twitter regularly. Like I don't really tweet frequently, but like I'm on it very consistently. Like that's definitely my vice, is just like scrolling through that and reading things. I don't know if I've ever looked at like a company's social profiles, whether it's Twitter or anywhere else, before making a decision. I think I could kind of understand the argument if you are a consultant or selling yourself. It's like, I want to make sure you're a real person. Like you should, if you're selling your services, your expertise, whatever, like you should have some proof behind that. But like for software, especially software with a free trial, well, like I don't think they're looking for all this proof around it. They're just going to sign up and see if they like it or not.
You could be right. I personally am the same way. Like I don't engage on social media a lot. I publish some, right? And I like don't open the Twitter app very often at all. I go to the place that I publish and I publish some stuff and people interact with it and whatever, and that's cool. But yeah, I mean, that's the extent to what I'm talking about. But I think there are a lot of people that do engage and grade a brand based on their social media presence. And I think for me, the thing is, that's not me, but I'm aware that there are a bunch of other types of buyers and personalities out there that are different than me and different than you. And so I'm going to test it, right? It's just like another test. I'm going to spend whatever, a month or two, and see what happens if we post more often and if anything changes around it. And I'll report back here how it goes.
Yeah, I know I'm pushing back a lot, but I do think
I know you don't like this idea. And
No, I don't at all. But
but like, that's cool.
What it reminds me of is just thinking about product and thinking about everything else, where it's when we were, I mean, I just finished finally like these mock-ups and product specs for pretty big new feature. And it's something where like, okay, I spent hundreds of hours, at least well over like a couple hundred hours banging my head against the wall and like making progress. But like, okay, like here's what exists out there. Here, how do I think people are trying to use this? How would I use it? Like what actually makes sense? Like what matters, what doesn't? And then just like getting to the spot and I'm like, okay, like what about this? I'm like, oh no, like that doesn't work anymore. Let me go back a few steps and repeat it. And that worked sort of. Like I think I was able to think through a lot of things, but it was very inefficient. And even then it's like, I'm not that person who's really going to use this. People do use this. So then when we finally got on a call with someone who like is a power user of these things and other tools, it's like, oh, okay. Like I should have done this beginning because now I understand it significantly more. And I'm glad I did my work, some of my work beforehand, because I was able to be like, oh, but like, what about this? Or it seems like you're using this feature to do that, but only because like, there's no other way of doing it. If you could do it in this other way, like would that matter to you? Like, am I right? And like, if so, like, would this work? And so I think it's hugely important to know when you are not that person. But if you are not that person, it's kind of like what I was saying too, like trying to delegate to someone who hasn't done something before to figure it out is super hard, but you're basically delegating it to yourself and you haven't done it before and you're not the person who exists out there who like, this is how they evaluate things.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah,
like
for
we're,
sure.
We're trying to guess like, oh, I think someone like this would be looking at these kind of things or this would matter to them, but like, we don't know. And so I guess that's where my like visceral like reaction comes from, is I'm just like, we're not the people. I'm not confident how many people like really dig on that level to to companies. I'm sure some exist, but like, two, we know that's not us. And so then why do we think we'll be able to reach those people when we don't understand them?
Those are all very fair questions. What I would say is if there's anyone who can figure it out, it would be me, right?
Right.
I have the most kind of range of knowledge and authority on what, you know, on this stuff. I am responsible for like growing the brand, right? And so I think that's a place where like...
What do you mean by growing the brand?
Increasing revenue is what I should say. Okay. Yeah. And there are a lot of ways to do it. And to this point, most all of our eggs have gone into like content marketing and inbound basket. And I view this as like a bet. I know you're big on betting on something else to layer on top of that.
Do you think there are other, like, and again, I'm not saying this even as a perspective, this could never work. I think it will be very hard, but you're right. Like, this could add value. I think it's really tough to get there. But I guess I'm just saying, like, don't you have either easier questions you could be answering?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. And like, I want to have a whole nother episode about like SEO or CRO, right? Because that's kind of like in the inbound world, that's where we are right now, is like balancing those two things. That's a very fair point. I definitely have a lot of work I can do on both getting more traffic to our site and converting that traffic better. Yeah. I mean, I guess a part of my like ADHD brain is like, I just can't do those two things all the time. And so I kind of want this other thing just to do, to have something else where I say I'm doing marketing stuff and there, it could be a really good thing. And it's not on the website, because just being on the website all day is exhausting to me. And so like, this is a mental break.
You've done a good job of taking serious, like real vacation and disconnecting, but it seems like you still are, and I feel this too. So like, this is, I think how probably a lot of people listening feel, but like, we feel an obligation to put in a certain number of hours and then try to fill in those hours. And I think there can be times where, yes, there's always more we can do to grow, and there's always other things we can look at. But I feel like if we're grasping for straws, maybe rather than saying, or like just saying, I'm getting burnt out on this stuff, that doesn't necessarily mean we need to work on something else in the business. It could be like, all right, like, these are the priorities. And like, I'm going to now go to that CrossFit during the day. Because like, which would you like? And that's why I guess why I talked about prioritization and everything, because it's, you want to look at an individual task, but it is a trade-off. And within a business, it is a trade-off between other things in the business, but like, we also are people with other like parts of our life. And it's like, okay, would this transform the business? Potentially, like, I don't know what that would look like. I don't know examples where that would be the case. It's okay. It's not on that scale. That's fine. Not everything has to be. But like, how big of an impact could this realistically have? And how likely is it that's going to get there? What if I just use this 30 minutes, hour a week to do those things around the house, to do those habits, to do whatever else like I've been trying to cultivate instead? Like, what would be the return on that?
Yeah, that's a fair question to ask. I do have a lot of guilt about not working, and I'm doing better at it. But yeah, definitely that's a thing. And I think that's something that maybe it's me convincing myself that it's okay to work a lot. And like, I'm not talking about a lot. I'm talking like 45 hours a week, maybe. Like, it's not crazy. Is kind of what we're talking about. It's like working on the business, even if it's things that aren't the most important, but that I want to do, you know? Like, and I think that there's these kind of ebbs and flows of things that we do in the business that sometimes are super valuable and sometimes aren't, but you kind of just want to do them. And I think this probably falls under that category for me. It's just like, I like working. I like Castos and I want to do this. I sometimes don't have the mental capacity to focus on like, how can we optimize this blog post to get more email signups to nurture? But I could open Buffer and write 5 tweets. And so like, that's kind of where this lays for me.
Do you want to do this for like the inherent value of doing it? Do you care about the task, or do you want to do it because you feel like this is something you should be doing or could be doing and don't want to just leave that box unchecked? Because there's a lot of things where like, I'll feel like the peer pressure or just, I'm looking around like, oh, like we're doing nothing here. I really should be doing something there. But like, I'm like, I don't know what I would possibly do. And so I'm not just like, go through the motions. And the reason I ask this is because you're not like a big social media user. And so I'm just skeptical when you say like, this is something I want to do.
It's definitely more the latter where like, I don't want to do this, but I want to get the potential outcome that it could have.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to do, right? Like, I don't know, a third of the stuff I do, I don't want to do. And I'm getting better at that too.
But like, does this have to be done? And that's where it's just like,
yeah.
Yeah. I've just had to be like in the thick of that kind of mindset recently where it's like, okay, like we're just not going to do this or whatever else. And it's to the point where it's like, yeah, like we are making cuts of things I think we should be doing, but it's just, I know it's not going to get done. So I have to. But I do notice that it's very easy in hindsight when I look back on just some of the things I would get sucked into that like, oh, I gotta like follow up this person, reach out about being a partner. I gotta like get on a call with them and talk about this and talk about that. And it's just like, no, I don't. Like, I can just say like, we're not taking partners. And just, I think getting to that spot, just like give yourself permission to just be like, yeah, like, no, like this doesn't need to be done. And I think that's something where if you look at like, I kind of geek out on like private equity stuff a lot. And it's like, if you look at what like Constellation Software does, they have an approach that would bore me to death. Is like, they do not, in like the shareholder letters that Mark Leonard writes, like, I don't know if he still does them anymore, but like talks about their approach and methodology and everything else. It's like he has said like, we have not seen return on like an ROI on basically like product development, like any, like they call it like R&D, but like it's basically like building new things. They do not see a return, or if it's positive, it's like very small. So like their playbook is basically buy these software companies that have built something that solves a need, get the team as lean as possible, focus on profits and ride it out until it dries up. Because all these other activities that we can often do don't have a real return. I think that approach is like not creative. I think from like a financial standpoint, with the way, if it's, that's not your skill set is like driving profitable product evolution, that's a logical way of doing it. But like, I wouldn't want to do that. But I also think it's almost lazy in a sense. Like, I think there are ways where you could drive revenue through R&D, but like at the same point, the more nebulous a calculation is for what return could this have, the less like I would be to actually do it. It's like, until I could say, yeah, this is, I'm placing a bet here, but if it pays off, it would be impactful. It would change the business. And I'm confident, like I have some level of confidence that we can get there. And that's the thing is, I think the Constellation Softwares of the world, and like there's dozens of other smaller versions, like that's not what they're doing. They're just like, no, like this is a financial transaction. We are going to ride this out like an annuity and then just optimize cash flow along the way and just take out as much money as we can. But this isn't even at all, this is probably less bootstrap founders and more just venture back, but it applies to everybody, is that just too much motion without like a real purpose, like without figuring it all out. And I think that's just, I probably to a fault resist that. And there's more things that we could be doing, but it's just trying to find a balance. And I just think it's like, if you have to force it, if you have to justify it in a way like that, I just think it's like the easier thing might just like, just don't do it. That's my soapbox for the week.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I think the Constellation Software thing is it, like in private equity, is a good guardrail to measure against, right? Because there's the maker that just likes to make stuff and can't market and can't make a business out of it. And then there's private equity that can make a business out of everything, but can't innovate and probably can't start a new business. You know, that's the other thing. It's like, you don't hear these guys ever start from zero. They lean on the entrepreneurial skills of a maker to build a thing that solves a problem, and then they run it like a business. And I think we have to operate somewhere between, and like where we are in between those two kind of edges, I think is important. For a long time, we have been really far on the product-led growth, on the product will make the business successful end of things. And I think now we're kind of saying like, the product is good. It's not our biggest problem at this point. And like operations, you know, sales, marketing, et cetera, to drive profits is the most important thing. Yeah, man, as always, like, good to talk through these things. I think I texted you last week after we recorded that, like, I really value our conversations, and like, they're really insightful, especially when challenging like this. And yeah, I got to say, like, I feel challenged, but not dissuaded. So yeah, it's always good to talk through this. I hope that our conversation kind of enlightened some thoughts in folks that are listening as to whether they want to do this or other things that might kind of be applicable to the kinds of decisions that we're talking about with prioritization and return and things like that and certainty. And yeah, as always, any questions or comments or feedbacks, pieces of feedback, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. And we'll chat next week.
Thanks everyone for listening. And thanks Craig for putting up with me. See everybody.
Bye everyone.